Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for March 4th, 2019, looking at the first portion of Acts chapter 8. Saul agreed with putting Stephen to death. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen, and they mourned deeply for him. But Saul was trying to destroy the church by going into one house after another, dragging off both men and women, and putting them in prison. So the believers who were scattered went around proclaiming the gospel message. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began preaching the Christ to them. With one mind, the crowds paid close attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the miraculous signs he was doing. Unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now there was a man by the name of Simon who had been practicing magic arts in the city. He amazed the people of Samaria while claiming that he was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." They paid attention to him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then even Simon himself believed. After he was baptized, he stayed close to Philip. As he observed the signs and great miracles that were taking place, he was amazed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me this power too, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right in God's sight. So repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord. Perhaps the intent of your heart may be forgiven to you. For I see that you are filled with bitter poison and chained by wickedness." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. This is the word of our God. Perhaps one of these stranger episodes, when you first look at it, we see this persecution that breaks out, and apparently Gamaliel doesn't really mind that Saul is going about and dragging people out of their houses one after another and putting them into prison, but that it was just expedient for him to score a political point when he said, "If you are opposing this and it is from God, you won't be able to stop it." Whatever the case may be, Saul of Tarsus, the student of Gamaliel, is going around and persecuting the church, and it begins in verse 1. A great persecution breaks out. And so verse 4, the believers were scattered, and they went around proclaiming the gospel message. We see that God, with his gospel message, turns even the worst of persecution, even the being put in prison and worried about death for the sake of the faith, God turns that around into a blessing for his people, because his people carry his word hidden in their hearts, and they share it with those with whom they speak. And so you might remember the outline of the book of Acts from the very beginning. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the expansion of God's church here. And so as the people go around, the apostles stay at Jerusalem, and everybody else mostly gets out of town. Philip, one of the seven who had been waiting on tables and engaged in the more face-to-face practical food distribution ministry side of things, But it was still ministry because they had to be men full of the Spirit and men who had been well versed in the truth. Philip goes to Samaria. That's the northern part of Israel, kind of that middle section. If you divide Palestine into the very northern third, the middle third, and then the bottom third. The bottom third is Jerusalem and Judea. Jerusalem, city, and Judea. Samaria is that middle third, and there's also a town called Samaria in there. And then the very northern third of Palestine is Galilee. And Jerusalem is actually taller and higher, so a lot of times people would say they'd be going up to Jerusalem, even though they're going down to Jerusalem because they're heading south, but they're going up in elevation. And so Philip, in verse 5, goes down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. But Jesus had charged the apostles with that specific commission of the spread of the church to Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so in this particular chapter, it seems that Philip does all the right work of preaching and teaching, and then the apostles come down from Jerusalem so that they are there at the expansion of God's church. They are the ones who have been entrusted with the authority of saying that this is correct and this is what God wants. And in that laying out of hands, God demonstrates that this is what he wants as well. That not that it's an ongoing forever thing that people are baptized, but they don't receive the Holy Spirit, not at all. But the Holy Spirit in the early church made himself known through wonders and signs and miracles, and he proved his presence by that and affirmed the message that had been spoken. And that didn't happen when Philip was preaching there in Samaria. And so when Peter and John arrive and place their hands on the people, that's God's way of demonstrating that this is correct, and this is the proper spread of the church from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then we have this guy, Simon, the one, the collision with the pagan beliefs of magic and arts. This Simon, who wants the power of God, who wants to transfer this power of God through the laying on of hands. And the difference between the world of magic with its murky and self-seeking thoughts and the world of the gospel is sharply illuminated. We see it there, for example, in verse 20. When Peter says, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money." When we talk about the gospel message, it is something that, yes, we can explain it in simple terms, but at the same time, it's something that can only be grasped through faith and applied to my life through faith. And so what do we learn from this? That there is a time and a place for Philip and Stephen to get out of town. Perhaps they, Greek-speaking people or Greek converts, were at a greater risk than the Jewish believers at the time of that persecution. There is a time to watch out for one's own livelihood and one's own welfare. But there's also a time to stay put and be willing to suffer for the gospel, even if that means not seeking it out at the same time. And so the apostles stay behind, willing to suffer, and that was right of them to do. And Philip and the others scattered, and that was right for them to do. But the bottom line in both occasions was that these people used the word of God. They knew the word of God, they had it tucked in their hearts, and they spoke it with their lips. And so as you go about your day, think of, for instance, your baptismal passage or your confirmation passage. Think of one of those passages and either look it up if you have to or choose a new one. But find one Bible verse to memorize. And then think of how you might be able to use that one Bible verse to say to somebody, you know, for instance, my verse, my confirmation passage, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And that verse, and whatever other verse that you might think of, it can be applied to our lives in a very practical way. When I say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," the first idea that comes to mind is that God will continue to provide for me, even in every circumstance of life, in every place of life. And just being able to express Christian truth, to start with a Bible passage and go on to say, this is what I believe, and this is how God affects my life, and this is the confidence that I have in our risen Lord. That's just part of Christianity. That's just part of the faith that we live, to say, here's God's word, and here's how it applies to me, and that same God, word of God, also applies to you. You can find us 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You can also find us on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.